Greetings. Welcome in, Bettors Last Stand Show number 78, coming to you from the Pine Room Studio, downtown Wheeling. Got a little bit of abbreviated show today. Sam won't be joining us. We have a event over at Rick Vion at Belmont Brew Works over at his place this evening, so I'm trying to fit this in where I can, but we got plenty to talk about here, recapping last week and giving you some plays for this week as conference tournaments are in full swing right now. We had a few smaller ones last week, and now the action is really heating up. You got a bunch of games going on even right now, so a ton of stuff on the sports calendars. Basketball is getting to its crunch time. You got hockey kind of getting down to about less than 20 games left for the playoffs. NBA is starting to wind down a little bit. Soccer, you got the Champions League still going on right now. We'll see who the next rounds of matchups are, as they had a couple teams advance yesterday and a couple more will advance today. Golf, the Players' Championship down at TPC Sawgrass. That'll be a big event as always. The 17th hole always provides a lot of excitement there with the balls in the water and so forth. So we got that coming up this weekend. Aussie Rules football in full swing. NASCAR Food City 500 from Bristol. So definitely an action-packed week of sports. If you're a sports fan, it's pretty good time of year. So recapping last week, how we did, we were up nearly 10 units, not counting the golf last week. I was plus 990, or not just me, but the overall group. With golf, we were up about 13, so plus 1295 there. So almost 13 full units. Myself, I was up 1770 last week with the golf. 8 out of 10 golfers made the cut at the Arnold Palmer. Our best finisher, Will Zalatoris, who was in command of the tournament there on Saturday. And I thought he was actually in a spot where he's going to have a chance to win, but it didn't even matter as Scottie Scheffler runs down the field and makes it pretty dismal. And I tell you what, PGA Tour, we'll talk a little bit about it, a little more about it in the second segment, but PGA Tour is in some big trouble right now. It has no good players at all other than Scheffler and very few other ones. There's the LIV players are so much better. Their top players are just so much better. And this could provide us with a fake like Tiger Woods experience where Scottie Scheffler's winning several of these big events. At least the guys can play in the majors to try to qual that a little bit. But not a good time for PGA. They've really botched everything they've done, and they deserve what they get. So golf, as good as it can be, it's not living up to expectations. We got UMass Lowell in the finals of the American East tournament. So gave them out last week a plus 375. So hopefully that one will get there for us. Sam with the winner of Max Verstappen. He had Ty Gibbs in the top five in NASCAR. So that was a good week for him. Not as good as he hoped for, but we had a couple winners there. College basketball, 4-2 I was last week. 4-1 in the Premier League. 2-1 in the NHL. 3-1 in the Aussie Rules football, and 2-0 in Indy. Well, I guess you can split those up. I usually split them by units. So it actually should be 2-2. They didn't come through with winners, but both guys got top threes. We had the second and third place finisher down in St. Petersburg. So overall, another decent week in the books for us. Seem to be having more positive weeks than negative, so that's always a good thing as we get towards college basketball. Well, hopefully we can keep the heat on and keep things rolling along here, turning a little bit of profit. We're getting down to where these conference tournaments are going to start to be contested here with the real teams. You got all these playing rounds going on right now, teams that are not very good who are in the tournament, of course, just not going to make much of an impact. So once we get some of this dead wood out of here today and tomorrow, then we can focus on some of the bigger and better teams. I gave out some plays since this won't air until Friday morning, so I wouldn't be able to give you my plays for the bigger conference tournament. So I put those on BLS_PRP, and here's what I came up with. In the American Athletic, I like Memphis at plus 525. In the Mountain West, I went with New Mexico. This will be a little bit tricky, but I try to give ones that weren't chalk. I did have one chalky play, which we'll get to in a minute, but try to give a little bit of incentive to play these. So hopefully you put a few bucks on them and not, you know, put an entire large amount on them. New Mexico in the Mountain West is $6, plus $6, 6-1, however you want to look at it. ACC, I like Wake Forest if they can get by their game today with Notre Dame. Hopefully they're able to do that. I wouldn't imagine that would be too tricky, but you never know. So I like Wake Forest there. I think they're in a need to solidify their seed if they even can get into the tournament. They have to make a deep run. In the Atlantic 10, I like Loyola Chicago at plus 550. They're in need of a good run here. Big East Lick, UConn -135. I couldn't get anywhere else there. They're just too good. 135 is a pretty good price on a team that good. I like Illinois in the Big Ten. I think their bracket shakes out a little bit better than some of the other teams. So I like their path to the final. So go with Illinois at +325. Iowa State, I like them in the Big 12. I think they're the only team that can actually kind of match up with Houston. Now, that doesn't mean they're great or they're better than Houston or anything like that. Houston's going to be the better team against most teams. But Iowa State matches up because they can defend a little bit. And Houston isn't the greatest scoring team. So Iowa State, the one team I think that can give Houston a little bit of a problem there in the Big 12, which is basically very weird now because Kansas is not even a factor this year. They're catching points today against Cincinnati. So injuries, of course, but they're not nearly as good. Big West, I like UC Davis at +450. Cal Irvine, the Aineers, are a huge favorite in that tournament. I think that league's tight. So I think there's some very evenly matched teams in there, like UC Davis at 4.5-1. And then in the SEC, I'm leaning Auburn, but also was looking down at Florida's resume. And Florida actually has beaten the three best teams in the SEC. Kentucky, I think they beat Kentucky, Alabama. They might not have beat Tennessee. Kentucky, Alabama, and Auburn. They beat three of the four. So I feel like and their setup to get there to the semis and quarters isn't that terrible. So I thought maybe Florida was worth a shot at 20-1, or 22-1. So that was my longest shot play on the card for college basketball. I still think Iowa State's a dangerous team in the tournament. Going to be curious to see where some teams like BYU, who I'm a big fan of, get seeded in the tournament and who they're going to match up with, because this is going to be very intriguing, as we talked about all season long, about how difficult it is for these big teams to continue to win when the smaller teams are just about as good as they are. So not a whole lot of insight to give on the actual tournament themselves until you see the seeds and the brackets. It's really hard to give you anything. You know kind of where I've been the last few weeks on some of the teams that I've been high and low on. I think it's going to be really tough for UConn to get beat, but we shall see. It has that tournament always delivers, and I'm sure it will deliver to some capacity. It doesn't mean we won't have a couple top seeds in the Final Four, but definitely going to be some upsets, going to be some people that are going to be stunned by some outcomes, but we'll get a little bit more into that tail end of next week when we have the brackets and we're facing the weekend to see what's going to happen before teams that are going to be making Sweet 16 runs. I'll post everything on BLS_PRP where I already have these up, but the golf plays up as well early, so if you want to check those out before the show on Friday each week, check them out on like Wednesday. Usually I put them up Wednesday evening or Thursday morning, so enjoy those picks, and hopefully, like I say, we've been doing all right lately. We've been keeping our head well above water, which is what we're trying to do, and capitalize on some value. It's easy to go out there and just make the picks of the very best teams and the very best leagues across the world each day, but if you lose those, which you will lose them sometimes, you're going to be so far behind when you're laying $4, $5, $6, $7, $8, you're going to chase forever. So we don't ever want to do that approach. It's just not going to work. So we don't give you ones here. I rarely give anything out more than -150 or -175 maybe. Very rarely do we give out things in the $2 or worse range. I just don't believe that's a successful strategy for long-term winning. So switching over to hockey here. Actually, I got a couple more things in college basketball to touch on before we get into hockey. Kentucky, they're the biggest liability that most books have across the board. Lots of talent, obviously. Very offensive-oriented team. Can they put it together? Can they get stops? Can they make big plays in tight games? We shall see here next week. But Kentucky, definitely the biggest liability. They were a good number this year. They've had some ups and downs, but they're a really talented team. We know that. Loaded with NBA lottery picks. So sportsbooks definitely not wanting Kentucky to win at all, but that's not everywhere, but that's the majority of places. Kentucky, obviously a blue blood program that everyone loves to bet, especially at a big number. College basketball teams who need good runs in their conference tournaments. This is an important angle, and I almost forgot that I had this written down here, but an important angle. So if you're getting into the weekend, you got these teams who need to finish off their run here to the tournament or the tournament finals. Keep that in mind here on a Friday. Here's some of the teams. So you got Michigan State, Seton Hall, TCU, and Mississippi State. Those teams, all from what people think, if they win a game in the conference tournament, they'll probably be in. But I would never want to leave that to chance. So if I'm them, I'm trying to at least win two, and I am maxing my ass out to try to win two, to at least get to the semifinals. Maybe quarters are enough, but I don't know. So Michigan State, Seton Hall, TCU, look for big performances out of them. Not always is this going to pan out. So must win doesn't mean must bet. So please keep that in mind. Colorado, Virginia, St. John's, Indiana State. They seem to be the last four in from most, you know, most metrics. Most people that prognosticate this, they have Colorado, Virginia, St. John's, and Indiana State. Indiana State's going to be a tough one. St. John's, I think if they can make it to the semis, I think they'll be in. Virginia, I think they got to get to the semis of a really bad ACC. And Colorado's a team that I've been on a lot of the year, but they've really faltered lately, so they're going to need a nice performance in the Pac-12 championship. First four out, these are teams that are probably going to need to make runs to, I mean, at the very least, the semifinals and beat somebody really good on the way. But probably the final, Texas A&M, New Mexico, who I've been high on all year. They've just completely fallen apart. I gave them out as a tournament play to win the Mountain West. I think that's built into this because they really need to make a run. So they got to get there. So hopefully you can get to the final at least, and you can hedge out for a positive price if necessary or if able. Wake Forest, another team I'm on, I think they also need to win. They got to win. They have no choice. They beat these good teams before. They beat Duke. They beat Virginia. They beat Clemson. So they can win, but can they put it together for three or four games? That's the question. Wake Forest, a need win team. Villanova, I'm not high on them. I just think they're just okay, and they're just okay at home. They're one of the first four out. I don't like them at all. I think they have no prayer beating up Marquette, Creighton, or, of course, UConn. So be passing on them. And then the next four out for most people, Pitt, Iowa, Providence, Memphis. I like Memphis in this spot. I think they have the talent. They were dominating teams, and then they kind of hit a wall, had some issues, personnel issues. But if they could put it together, Memphis definitely talented enough to win the AAC. So I'll be going with them, of course. Pitt, I don't like at all. Iowa, I don't like at all. Providence, I don't mind Providence. I don't know they're a tournament team. I don't think they can beat any of the big three in the Big East. And if they did beat one of them, I don't think they could beat two of them in order to win that tournament. But I don't think Providence is awful. I could see them being like a 10 or 11 seed in the tournament. To me, Devin Carter's a really good player. I like watching him play. He plays really hard and can do a little bit of everything. So Providence, I would lean a little bit towards over Iowa or Pitt. And then Memphis, of course. Memphis is just based on if they can perform well in this tournament to maybe win it, which they should have a good chance of doing. So keep an eye on those teams that need it. That's a really important part this time of year, teams that need it, and can they get the job done? Because it's not always as easy as, needing it and getting it. So college basketball, though, in its prime couple of weeks here. So look forward to talking more about that as we move along. All right, jumping over to hockey here. Trade deadline hit last week. And some teams made moves, some teams did not. So the way that I've looked at this, you can kind of tell some of the teams who are deflated and some of the teams who are playing with a little bit of jump in their step. Obviously, Carolina, Florida, really, really going to be tough to beat in a seven-game series. I think they're both a little bit better than the Rangers in a seven-game series. Although Shesterkin, the other night from the Rangers, are back-to-back games. I think he's played outstanding in goal. So if they get him sharp as he was a couple of years ago, then they're right there too. But I think the obvious choices are the Panthers and the Hurricanes in the Eastern Conference, followed slightly by the Rangers. A team that I'll be packing it in on. I was giving them out as a team that I really liked a few weeks ago. They made no moves at the deadline. That's Detroit. So Detroit was happy to just stand pat. I don't understand bringing in Patrick Kane during the offseason unless you think you're going to keep him around for a couple of years. Didn't make any sense to me. I thought it was a really bad job by them. Just did not address their needs at all. Penguins were sellers a little bit, but they didn't sell enough. So they've basically given up. Their season is just a disaster. They just basically quit. They've scored, I think they've scored like three goals in like 15 periods. It's been awful. So the Wings, the Penguins will be fades. The Jackets, of course, are fades. They've been leaking water for a while, and now they've sold off some more assets. The Devils, a team who was thought to be a buyer, and they got Jake Allen. Like, that's not going to do anything. You needed a goalie. You needed to get some more toughness. You needed some bottom six scoring. Didn't get any of it. I don't think Jake Allen's going to be enough to put him over the top. They've really been slumping. You can tell this team's playing like a team who expected to make a move and did not. So I think they're very flat. Calgary, of course, traded away all their assets. They're a fade team. And then Washington moved a couple of players there. Washington will play hard for you, though. I will say that. They're not going to quit. They're just not very good. So I think Washington is not quite as much of a fade team as the other teams, but I like their games to go over. They've been giving up a lot of goals, just hemorrhaging goals at the back. And they've actually picked it up a little bit because Obi can score a little, and they still have some guys who can put the puck in the net. So the Caps were sellers, but they're doing the rebuild the way that the Penguins should have. They've gutted a lot of their roster, and they've kind of overhauled it, building around their core, their older core. But Penguins are doing it backwards. They should have moved Jari. They should have moved Riley Smith. They should have moved several other players on that roster, and they did not do it. And I don't know all the hype about Kyle Dubas. I mean, he built Toronto into a regular season team. And honestly, let's be really honest, if Toronto doesn't get lucky enough to get Austin Matthews, they're terrible. They're not even a playoff team. So I would not be patting Kyle Dubas on the backside or on the shoulders and saying, great job. I don't think he's as good as everybody thinks he is, and I don't expect him to last very long in Pittsburgh. I'm thinking next year's a key year. If he keeps all the stuff the same as it is right now, they're going to be terrible again. So I would say he's got two to three more, actually probably 1 to 2 more years left, and then he'll get fired because they're not going to tolerate him. And I don't think he's that good. So we'll see. Maybe he'll prove me wrong. I think he knows about as much about hockey as any of us do, because he obviously isn't moving key parts. He re-signed Jari in the offseason, and then you get him playing great, and you have an absolute incredible asset to trade, and you don't do it. So I'm not very confident that he will rectify things. So play on teams now, going to the other side of things, teams who have added some things and have a little bounce in their step, I think. Obviously, the Panthers and Canes, no question about it. Carolina loses a tough one to Rangers last night, 1-0. Jake Guentzel made his debut in the game, and they also got Kuznetsov. Geez, sorry. The Islanders are a team I think is playing really well. Patrick Waugh took a while to get stabilized. They were really, really bad for a couple games. I thought it was going to be a terrible experiment with him, but he's righted the ship. They've won 6 of 7, and they're playing very, very good hockey right now. So Islanders will be a team that I'm backing. I think they get in the Metro Division. I think that they're going to probably chase down the Flyers. The other teams, Penguins, Devils, I mean, those teams are just, they don't really want to get into playoffs, I don't think. They're not getting the job done. Kings, they made a few moves, a couple change arounds, coaches change, nothing major though, not enough to make them, but they are playing better. So Kings, I think, are a good team. The Knights, I thought, very aggressive at the trade deadline. If they get some of those guys back that are out injured, the Knights are a sleeping giant out in the Western Conference, so I like them. Told you about them a couple of weeks ago. If they get those guys back, I still think they were at a very good price. The Wild have been playing very well of late, and the Predators, who were going to be sellers about 2 weeks before the trade deadline, and their team picked it up, and they rattled off several wins, and they decided to they basically stopped management from selling off their assets. So the Predators are a team to play on. Goals in the first 10 minutes of the game as a yes. So these are goals scored in the first 10 minutes. Ottawa 46 and 17, Tampa 44 and 21, Dallas 44 and 23. And then in the last 10, Ottawa 9-1, Dallas, Anaheim, Washington all 8-2. Goal yes in the first 10 minutes. As I said, Washington leaking goals at will right now, and they're also scoring some. Second and third period numbers, second period overs, Toronto 52-12. That is astounding. Keep playing on these. Toronto 52-12 to the over in the second period. Ottawa 51-12 to the over in the second period. Dallas 52-15. In the last 10, Toronto, Dallas, Chicago, New Jersey all 9-1. Second period overs in the last 10 games. Third period overs, Minnesota 49-13. Tampa 48-17. Montreal 47-18. Last 10, Tampa and Vegas both 9-1. Third period overs in their last 10. Toronto, Edmonton, Nashville all 8-2 third period overs in their last 10. Crazy stuff there. Again, Islanders, I'm high on them. I tell you who else is playing pretty good, interestingly, is Buffalo. I think they have a lot to prove. They trade away their captain, Okposo. I think they're kind of pissed off about that. So keep an eye on Buffalo. I don't think they're a complete fade type team, even though they did move a few parts. And then, as I said, Minnesota, Nashville, Vegas out in the Western Conference, worth taking a peek at some increased inflated numbers that maybe people were overlooking these teams as we head into the big stretch run for the playoffs here. Soccer time. Let's go to the Premier League. We don't have Champions League next week. We'll have a week. I think maybe it'll be 2 weeks off, a week or two off before they redraw to see who's playing who in the next round of this. We'll be getting down to eight teams. So Should be a fun few weeks of soccer action. Short card, though, for the EPL. You got some games moved around due to some cup matches. You had some teams playing in Europe this week. So busy, busy schedule for these guys. There's a Saturday match. It's Burnley and Brentford. I like both teams to score in this match. This is at Turf Moor and Burnley. So both teams to score is where I'll be going in that one. Luton plays today and on Sunday or on Saturday, which is I've never even heard of a team only getting one day off in between. Well, actually, it's 2 days off. But that's a really short turnaround for them. So they could be a team. They're at home against Nottingham Forest on Saturday, which I would really like them. But they've got a game today against Bournemouth. So that's tricky. I lean towards the over in that game or possibly both teams to score, but that's not an official play. Fulham and Tottenham, Battle of London. This will be at Craven Cottage. And that is also on Saturday. I like both teams to score in this one. These London derbies have been pretty exciting across the West London and North London. It's been very, very competitive on all the teams, whether it's Aston Villa, West Ham, whether it's Spurs or Fulham or Chelsea or Arsenal. Everybody, Brentford has been given a great effort. Borussia Dortmund scores ago 1-0 up on PSV. That was 1-1 on aggregate. Now 2-1 Dortmund. Got the other match going on. Atletico trails Inter Milan 1-0 and aggregate 0-0 today. And then a game on Sunday in the EPL as well. Aston Villa hasn't scored in the last two matches. It's been a really rough go of it. They got a major battle here in London against West Ham. I think that Aston Villa will play just good enough to probably draw in this game. So I'm going with the draw. Don't love the way West Ham. They've shown a little bit of signs of coming out of their funk. So we'll go West Ham and Aston Villa for the draw on Sunday, and then both teams to score in Burnley, Brentford on Saturday, along with both teams to score Fulham and Tottenham. Lean towards both teams to score or the over in Luton Town and Nottingham Forest out at Kenilworth Road. All right, that's going to do it for the first segment here. Better's Last Stand as soccer plays are in. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to hit on some golf, some Aussie rules football, and a little bit of racing. It's the 78th edition of our Better's Last Stand show. So excited to be here, and we will come back here in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
Reminder, this show is for informational and entertainment purposes only. All wagering activities should only be conducted by those 21 years of age or older and within the confines of federal, state, and local law. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, contact 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. All right, men, load the cannons and hold the line. You're listening to Better's Last Stand.
All right, welcome back inside. It's show 78, Better's Last Stand, coming to you from the Pine Room Studio. Matt here along with you. Sam is out today as we have a show to do over at Belmont Brew Works this evening. So getting this in between my day job and that event here this evening. So thanks to Rick Vion for having us over there at Belmont Brew Works over there in Martins Ferry. If you haven't checked that place out yet, I highly recommend it. It's got a great variety of beers and drinks and so forth, and just a wonderful menu that's it's top class for a place around these parts. So well done to him, and we look forward to the event over there and should stop on over and see us in the future when we do things over there with them. Thanks to all of our sponsors, IC Cab, of course, Jill's Gentleman's Club, Gumby's, Generations, and Figuretti's, who have been great sponsors to us. Duggars, who did our football challenge. It was we've been really blessed to work with a lot of people. We newly got just brought on board Ricky Zambito from Zambito Flooring America, as well as Four Seasons Golf. So thanks to everybody who's reached out and done stuff for us. The Nailers, of course, Waterfront Hall, and River City. So we've had a good run of partnerships and people that we've worked with, and we look forward to keeping those going. So again, thanks to all the sponsors for all of our content, all of our shows. Check out the Pine Room Studios on the YouTube channel and all over social media at the Pine Room Studios. And of course, for our show, BLS_PRP, you can get all the PRP BLS picks that we put out each week, even on the show and off the show, because sometimes with a sports calendar, can't get everything in a time-sensitive manner. So we keep that in mind and always have the game or the games and the golf picks or racers or whatever it is up on the BLS underscore PRP Twitter or X following. Couple industry notes here. The Temple situation, if you didn't hear about this, there was unusual wagering activity detected last week for the Owls game against UTSA, Texas San Antonio. Some betting regulators in U.S. Integrity, who's a business that conducts, basically full-time audits of what's going on in the betting world, they were alarmed by some interesting movements and some large wagers against and on Temple. So they didn't give you a whole lot of information yet about how, but there was a lot of erratic line movement, I guess, up and down in the game, which was interesting. And in Temple plays actually UTSA again today in the AAC first round tournament. And so 1-point spread in that one. So we'll keep an eye on that one. You never like to see that kind of stuff. But as I always tell people, legalized bookmaking, you have a much better chance of catching things like this than you do illegal. So just, it's never going to be perfect, but there's a lot of people have this misconception that the more sports betting is legalized, that there'll be more scandals like this. It's just not true. The thing is we're catching the scandals now, whereas in the past, there was nothing there to detect it because the bookmakers couldn't call the authorities because they're booking illegally. So keep that in mind. So other than Nevada would be the only place where you actually had legalized regulation going on, and they caught a lot of the scandals before they even happened. So keep that in mind before you knock it. But if you're watching this show, you probably aren't anti-sports betting, so that's good. North Carolina went mobile on Monday. They become the 30th state to start up online mobile wagering for sports betting and the 38th state overall to have some sort of wagering. So that's pretty cool stuff. NFL free agency, of course, heating up. Had the Falcons make the big splash. They're the only one that made any move as far as their Super Bowl odds, as they went from 50 to 30 to 1 after signing Kirk Cousins. I think it's a good signing for them. A big, big upgrade over Desmond Ridder. So kind of like Atlanta's chances if they... I still think they probably should have hired Belichick, but hey, we'll see. They're definitely improving. Steelers remain at 75-1 after signing Russell Wilson. That isn't going to move the needle at all. That's just basically an admission that Kenny Pickett's not any good, but we'll see. He was cheap. I don't blame him for doing it, but the Steelers made a better move by getting Patrick Queen, linebacker from the Ravens, middle linebacker. Ravens are going to miss him a lot. They already lost Geno Stone. They traded Morgan Moses today, but they did get Derrick Henry, so that's positive, but like I said to somebody today, it didn't matter if we had Derrick Henry in a playoff game this year. We only ran a ball 8 times. So maybe that would have changed if it was him. But we had decent enough running backs. We should have at least tried it against the Chiefs. But anyway, that's another year in the books. The Ravens have a lot of salary cap casualties that they're going to have to deal with. It's already showing. They're going to be counting on player development, which they do a really good job of. So, and Patrick Queen, to be quite honest, had been very, very, he'd been underachieving quite a bit prior to Roquan Smith's arrival, which kind of opened things up for him and maybe showed him the way. So Steelers benefit from that one, I would imagine. And the Ravens got a lot to fill, but they draft really well normally, and they develop their players pretty well. So I think they'll still be good, but that's going to be it's going to be tricky for them this year to be as good as they were last year. They really missed out on a key opportunity. NBA unders continue. We've talked about those ever since the All-Star break. 95-57-2. That's 62% since the All-Star break. The Knicks, keep an eye on them. 12-3 ATS when OJ Anunoby plays, in 13-2. Straight up when he plays. So they got him from Toronto, I think. So, so good trade for them. Novak Djokovic upset at Indian Wells by Luka Nardi at 20-1. Hate to say it, but maybe this is the sign of the end. I hope not. But Joker's not been, he's not been invincible. Now, guys are getting better, though. We'll say that. So there's guys out there more capable of beating him than ever before. So, but he's starting to show some signs that maybe he's hitting that final wall of his career. We'll see how that goes here as the next major will be the French Open on clay, which I believe he won last year. He beat Alcaraz in the semis. If he didn't win it, he lost. I think he won. So anyway, keep an eye out on that one. And as I said, Kentucky, the top liability in college basketball. All right, let's get it back over to golf. So we got the Players' Championship this week. This is at TPC Sawgrass. obviously balls in the water on 17 are always something that people are interested in. So you got props up on that. There's all kinds. There's extensive menus. This is basically the fifth major, and it's treated that way, which is great. So this is a course where iron plays huge, par five scoring is huge, and just obviously hitting greens, that's always going to be important. But driving the ball isn't always a big deal here. So you can get into good spots, and your iron play is going to be what dictates that, and your approach, obviously, with your iron. So some guys, my top tier guys look like this. I like Will Zalatoris a lot. I've been on him quite a bit here this spring. He's really playing well. I like him to have a chance here around 28-1. Justin Thomas has also been trending right. He just needs a little bit, just a string together, a little confidence with the putter, and I think he can go on a good run here. He's around 20-1. And then Hideki Matsuyama, who we gave out a few weeks ago at a really, really nice price of like 75-80-1, and he won in impressive fashion with an incredible round on Sunday. I like him around 35-1 or so. So those are my top plays. Then my mid-level guys, I like Billy Horschel, 115-1. Actually, he's playing more of a long shot. I like his competitiveness here. He's played well here in the past, and his form's been okay. Brian Harman, another guy who's done all right here. I love his ball striking. His putting is really good. He doesn't hit it far, but he doesn't need to here. So Brian Harman at around 55-1 is definitely a good price if you can get him. Also in the mid-range, like Aaron Rye, he's 83-1, so I guess he's a little bit bigger than mid-range. 83-1 for Aaron Rye. That's RAI. He's a strong player. I think he's worth a shot here. Justin Rose at 93-1, always good at this course, always just a solid player, knows how to play the course well, just gets the putter going, and he can absolutely win this. And then Tom Hoagie, who we had last week and performed very well. So Hoagie's been playing good golf. He is around 60-65-1, 62-1 range, something like that. And then Doug Gim. Now, I heard Doug Gim given out by a couple of other sharp guys, so hopefully I'm in the same camp on that one. Doug Gim at 104-1, I think, a very, very strong play. Could be a top 10, top 20 type bet for you this week. Rory McIlroy, Scottie Scheffler are the favorites here. I can't burn a ticket on it. Scheffler could get hot and win this like he did last year, but you're going to have guys on top of their game here trying to come for this title, so hopefully this is an exciting finish and we don't have a runaway like Scheffler has been doing here, or at least did last week and has been capable of doing for some time now. I'll be fading McIlroy. I have no desire to take him. He's way overinflated. Victor Hovland, I was on the fence about him. I'm not going to make him an official play. Number's a little too low for me, but I'll be passing on him. Can Ricky Fowler make a run? He did it a few years ago. He won this. Is there anybody out there? Any dark horses? Jason Day? But nobody. Francesco Molinari, I've been waiting for him. He's like 700-1. And this guy should have won the Masters. Like, and he won, I believe he won the Open Championship. But he changed equipment, and then he had to move his family. And so he's really had some weird stuff happen to him in recent years, and his game is just gone. So I've been waiting for Molinari to get it back together and make a run, and hopefully I'll be on the right side of that at some point if he does get back to where he was, which was at an elite level. So we shall see. Enjoy the Players' Championship. You can find those picks on BLS_PRP, of course, on Friday. When you listen to this, the tournament would have already started, but that shouldn't deter you. You may actually get better prices on some of these guys. So obviously, if you see a guy that had an awful round, you can play a little bit on him to make a big comeback, or you can eliminate him, whatever you choose to do. I would not blame you. All right, let's go over to Aussie Rules Football now. The first round begins this week. That was the opening round, they call it. Not all the teams play, but it's almost like an introductory round. They do have bye weeks in this stuff too, so that kind of plays in. So not everybody actually plays. So they call this week opening, or last week the opening week. This is the round one schedule. So we'll get back rolling with it right here. It's a couple of plays that I'll have had out Wednesday and Thursday. Carlton, I like them against Richmond. You won't be able to do anything with that listening to this on Friday. I like that game under as well, 164.5. Carlton laying 16.5 in that one. Collingwood and Sydney, it's 164.5 the total on that one. I'm going to be going over there. Sydney scored a lot last year. Collingwood, the defending champions. I think there could be some points in that one. Collingwood comes in at 0-1. Sydney 1-0. So those ones I'll post on the BLS underscore PRP. These are the plays that you can get if you're interested. 10:45 kick, or jump, not really a kick. Essendon and Hawthorne, 10:45 p.m. This is at the Melbourne Cricket Ground. 10:45 p.m. Friday evening here in the East. And we have Essendon minus 3.5 and Hawthorne against Hawthorne, and the total 170.5. I like this game over. I think both teams coming out. I usually don't like to play games where the teams who didn't play in week one that would play, like two teams that haven't played yet. I like the unders, because the unders to me last week made a lot of sense. There wasn't a couple overs, but the unders made more sense than the overs. But I think in this one, I think both these teams are going to want to get off to a good start and both see this as a winnable match. So I think there'll be points. I think they'll break out all the stops here. So I like Hawthorne and Essendon over 170.5 on Friday evening. Very late Friday here, or early Saturday, whatever you want to call it. It's the GWS, Greater Western Sydney Giants against the North Melbourne Kangaroos. GWS minus 49.5, the total 177.5. I like this game over the 177.5. GWS lost Callum Moore last week to an AC joint injury, so I'm not sure that they're I don't know if they can cover this number. I think North Melbourne might hang in this game a little bit. They're going to score a little bit. GWS knows they're going to win. They're just going to have to go through the motions enough to just win the game. So I don't like them to cover the 50-point spread, but I think they'll score 130 just for fun, and I think North Melbourne will score 70 or so. So I think this is a 200-point type game here, GWS in North Melbourne on early Saturday morning or late Friday, however you want to look at it. It's a 1:35 a.m. Eastern time bounce. Geelong Cats, my Cats against St. Kilda. The Saints here, this is at the GABA. St. Kilda banged up badly in the preseason. They got a lot of guys hurt. I was on Geelong last week. You heard me give them out as one of my win totals, so we're hoping to get off to a good start there. This is one they need. They're laying 12.5 against St. Kilda. Total 159.5. I'll be on Geelong minus 12.5. Leaned the under just a tad. Don't love it, but I'm leaning to the under there. It's not going to be an official play, but lean to the under in that one. I think Geelong's defense is pretty strong, and St. Kilda has struggled to score for the last couple of years. That is a 4:30 a.m. Saturday morning kick at the GABA. Gold Coast in Adelaide. It's at Heritage Bank Stadium. It's a 5:10 a.m. Saturday kick. I don't really have any thoughts on this game. I lean Gold Coast for the game, but I have a future on Adelaide, so I would like it if the Crows could somehow pull this off. But I think it's too tough to call here. Maybe take the Crows plus the 7.5 and Gold Coast on the money line, but again, nothing official there. And then we move on to our Saturday card here. These are going to be Saturday, 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. We have the Melbourne Demons and the Western Bulldogs here. Now, this one is a interesting matchup. The Demons have won the last three at home against the Doggies, so I think that bodes well for them. They lost last week in a tight match, so I'm going to be going with Melbourne minus the 7.5 this week. Total's 167.5. I'm going to be passing on the total. Then you got a 1 a.m. Saturday, which is 1 a.m. Sunday, really. Saturday night, Sunday morning, Port Adelaide, the Power, in action against West Coast. Port Adelaide minus 48.5, the total 178.5. West Coast was 1-11 on the road last year. Port Adelaide is a really tough place to play. They're really, really good at the Adelaide Oval. I think they absolutely murder West Coast, who would be the worst team in the league. And I like the game under 178.5. I don't expect West Coast to break 60 in this matchup. So look for Port to roll in this one, covering the 48.5 and being under 178.5. And then the finale of the weekend, 3:50 a.m., bounce on Sunday morning. It'll be the Brisbane Lions and the Fremantle Dockers. Brisbane minus 12.5 on the road against Fremantle. Brisbane 0-1. They lost a tight one last week. We had the other side in that one, so that was a good one for us. Brisbane has won 5 of the last 6 in this series, and I don't see any reason why here. They're really good. They're so offensively talented. I like Brisbane big here. Minus the 12.5, Fremantle in their first match. They're going to struggle to keep this close. So let's go with Brisbane. Not certain about the total. I'm not really going to lean either way on that one. I don't really have a great feel. So Brisbane minus the 12.5. So just to recap, it'll be on Friday in the evening, 10:45 p.m. I like Essendon and Hawthorne over 170.5. Then at 1:35 a.m. on Friday evening or Saturday morning, It's GWS in North Melbourne playing that game over the 177.5. Then you got the Geelong Cats and the St. Kilda Saints. It'll be Geelong minus 12.5. That's what I'm going with there. That's a 4:30 a.m. on Saturday morning match. And then Melbourne Demons, 10 o'clock p.m. on Saturday evening, minus the 7.5 against Western. Port Adelaide, minus the 48.5 and under the 178.5 on Sunday morning at 1 a.m. or Saturday night at 1 a.m., depending on when you're getting in with your IC cab ride. And then the final one, Brisbane, minus 12.5 on Sunday morning at 3:50 a.m. That'll do it for the AFL roundup. And this is in round number one, so we got plenty more rounds to go. I think 22 in all, so we're excited about that one for sure. Moving on to something else I'm excited about, NASCAR. As we go into the fifth or sixth week of NASCAR, we are off in Formula One this week. We're off in IndyCar this week. Max Verstappen once again in IndyCar, dominating in the only fashion that he knows how to do, and he just crushes everybody. But we did have the Red Bull double top three. Sergio Perez finishes second there. Daniel Ricciardo was a play I had for top 10. I'm going to have to stop playing that because they got some problems, and we'll probably be passing on that the next time they go out. But Verstappen and Sergio Perez cruise along there in that one. And the F1 boys will be back in action in Australia, ironically, on March the 24th. So look forward to that one. IndyCar season got off to a good start, but Joseph Newgarden was dominant in this race. He led 92 laps. I mean, that's just incredible. Completely dominated the race. Earns the 54 points, wins the race. Joseph Newgarden. So PPG and Robert Penske, great run there. You had the Arrow McLaren of Pato O'Ward finished in second. And then another Penske, the Dex Imaging Penske of Scott McLaughlin in third. So I had Pato O'Ward and Scott McLaughlin for top five and top three finishes. So we did all right with those ones. A couple of those long shots Sam gave did not pan out for us, but that's all right. Kyle Kirkwood is a good racer. I think he's going to still have a really good season. And then he took the old boy, Scott Dixon. I mean, you got a great play on him. He wasn't his best. He finished ninth. And then we had you had Christian Lundgaard actually led a few laps in the race and then had some bad luck. So he kind of got shuffled out of the front pack. So that, you know, things like this in racing, things always can go, you know, bad. And then Marcus Armstrong, who we liked, crashed in the race. But it's early yet. They were in St. Petersburg last week. They're going to be taking a couple of weeks off and then being at the Thermal Club in Southern California. I'm not really familiar with this track, so look forward to checking that one out here in a couple of weeks. But NASCAR is ready to go here. Food City 500 at Bristol Motor Speedway. I'm just happy this isn't a dirt race anymore. It's just a great thing. Last week's race, I didn't get to see a whole lot of it because it was at Mountain East Tournament, which, by the way, was an exceptional time, as always. Charleston taking it in the guys, Fairmont in the girls, and those teams move on to the regional among several others for the Mountain East. Chris Bell won the race. He led 50 laps, pretty strong. Ty Gibbs, 57 laps led. You had Martin Truex lead 55 laps. You had Denny Hamlin lead 68, Tyler Reddick lead 68. So a very well-balanced race there. Sounds like Bell just had the right strategies and had the car set up perfectly at the right time for the last long run. So he gets the job done over Chris Buescher, Ty Gibbs, Brad Keselowski, Ryan Blaney. So good strong performance there from Bell, a guy who's lacked a ton of consistency in his career so far, but he's extremely, extremely talented. So now we go to Bristol. This is a tricky track. You're going to be bumping and banging everywhere. You're going to have tires rubbing and paint coming off, and it's very tight quarters. If you haven't seen Bristol, highly recommend. Denny Hamlin won this race in 2023, the non-dirt version, and then in 2022 it was Chris Buescher and Kyle Larson in 2021. So some strong runs for those guys lately. Chris Bell has been great here in addition to those three racers, so you got to look out. But I'm on Chase Elliott this week. I have two pretty strong players that I like. I like Chase Elliott a lot this week, and I like Ty Gibbs, who's really got a lot of confidence right now. He's running great, and he's had a lot of success here at Bristol in both the Xfinity and in this series. So I think Ty Gibbs makes a lot of sense here. His price is a little short for me, though, like 12 to 15 to 1 range. Chase Elliott, around 18 to 20. The former champion has longer price than Gibbs. I don't love that. So I'm going with Elliott as my top play, Gibbs as my second play. And then a couple other guys that I think are strong. Kyle Busch has led like 2,500 laps here in his career. He's just exceptional at Bristol. He's going to be dangerous here. He's 15-1. I think he makes a lot of sense. And then you got a guy like Eric Jones, who's been outstanding here. He's ran top 10 here regularly quite a bit. So I like for look for Eric Jones to have a strong run and get into the top 10 once again, as well as Ricky Stenhouse Jr., 110-1. Eric Jones is 38-1, by the way. Ricky Stenhouse, 110-1. He's arguably had a car that could win this race a few times in recent years. So I look for Stenhouse to be a top 10 car for sure this week at Bristol, so keep an eye on him. And then a couple other guys that are a little bit under the radar. Carson Hocevar, who I liked last week, but he has had some success here. He finished, I believe, 11th here last year in one of these cars in a part-time run. He actually had 22 of the fastest laps on the track. So that is not substantial. If you have good early success at Bristol, you can really turn yourself into being a master of the track. So Carson Hocevar, probably by no means a master of the track yet, but he's trending in the right direction. So I'm going to give him another shot. 75-1 could get him for a top 10, I'm sure, at a very, very good price. And Ryan Preece, a guy who you hear me talk about him on super speedways. I like him on super speedways. And ironically, a lot of these guys who run well on super speedways, like Ricky Stenhouse, like they run well on the very short tracks too, which is just bizarre to me how that works. But Michael McDowell, another one of those guys who's had some success here in the past. So those are the guys we're going with there. Top play, Chase Elliott. Secondary top play, Ty Gibbs, followed by Kyle Busch, Eric Jones, Ricky Stenhouse, Ryan Preece, and Carson Hocevar. I will have all Sam's picks posted on BLS_PRP in plenty of time for Sunday's action, as Sam's taking the day off, which I can't thank him enough for making time. He runs home from work and gets on the show with us, and today we were just taping a little bit early, so it's tough to get to it, but we appreciate his great insight, and it actually worked out. We only had one race card this week anyway. I know he would have loved to have talked Bristol, and we would have talked about how great it is not to have the dirt race back, that being on just the regular concrete, which is good, so should be good. But it's going to be an exciting weekend of sports, and again, basketball is what everybody's thinking of right now, but you got all these other great things out there that you can try to make money on. So hopefully we can guide you in the right direction and give you some insight and hopefully get you interested in a new sport, perhaps that you're not really, you didn't even know was out there. That's what the goal is here, not just to win you money, but to expose you to the ever-growing sports world, the marketplace out there, and all the different things. You may find a niche in something that you like that you had no idea that you could even make money in that area, but you can do it, and we continue to try to expand and hopefully give you a comprehensive rundown of all the things that are going on in sports world. And if you have any requests or anything additional you want us to add to the show, don't hesitate to shoot us an email, contact@thepioneeringpodcast.com, message us on Twitter, BLS_PRP, give us a call on the radio show on the Watchdog. Each week we're on Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, so we look forward to hearing from you and all of our loyal listeners out there. You can check out the final couple days of Lunch Madness over on the radio, as our bracket style lunch challenge is down to the final four. Well, just about down to the final four. We had the egg roll eight set, and we were looking for the final two teams to make it into the final four in the early parts of next week. So should be a good one. We appreciate Figuretti's and Generations for supporting us in that endeavor, and look forward to finishing that one up just in time for the big tournament to start up. So that's going to do it for us here on Bettors Last Stand. Again, check out BLS_PRP for all the updated information on what we have out there. It's going to be a hectic week. You're going to have the first four games going on early next week. We're going to try to tape our show again on Wednesday, have it ready for Friday, so you'll miss Thursday's card, but I'll have anything that I like in those games posted early. Any to win the region or final four type bets, or to win it all, things, if it's a great price, whatever we may see out there, I will have posted on BLS_PRP, as well as the various other personalities who are going to give picks within the Pine Room stratosphere. So again, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. And we will see you next week here on Bettors Last Stand. Spring weather is upon us. Baseball's right around the corner. I didn't even mention baseball in the show, but we're getting down to that point where we're going to be talking a lot about that when I give out the official win totals and things like that. Gave out a few of them a couple of weeks ago. Diamondbacks, Cardinals, and then there was one under. I think it was the Mets. So anyway, look forward to baseball getting here in the coming weeks. Gerrit Cole could be Tommy John surgery for him, so a big loss for the Yankees as we head towards opening day here in a couple of weeks. So that'll do it for us. Have a great weekend. Again, thanks to all of our sponsors for everything they've done for us. I'll run them down one more time for you. IC Cab, Figuretti's, Generations, Jill's Gentleman's Club, Gumby's, Zambito Flooring America. Oh, Four Seasons Golf. I was watching a soccer play. Almost had a goal there. Four Seasons Golf, simulated golf and bar up at the Highlands. A super cool place. And then some of our longtime ones, Duggars, River City. We appreciate everything everybody's done for us. Our watchdog team. And it's been a good run. So keep it rolling here, and we will see you next week on Bettor's Last Stand. Have a great weekend. Best of luck in all your wagering. All right, welcome in. Bettor's Last Stand, back after a Thanksgiving hiatus. Last time we were seen over at Belmont Brew Works, had our buddy Rick on the show. He had us over. It was a great evening. We talked a lot about sports betting on the show as always, and then had a few drinks and something to eat. So it was a good time. Chris here with me in the studio.
Hello.